You may have heard recent news stories about something called Napster violating something called copyright laws. So, what is a Napster? What is a copyright law? And most importantly, who on earth cares?
Who cares? Yes, who cares? I want to know.
Well.
Who cares?
Well.
What is a Napster?
Napster is an online music service that permits peer-to-peer file sharing. Think of it as a means of amicable intermusical communication. Using apparatus no more complex than a pocket calculator wired to a reel-to-reel tape recorder, Napster allows users to swap encoded tunes with one another without first going through the tedious process of exchanging legal tender for commercially recorded media. A copyright law is a big pile of words typed on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that nobody outside of a few judicial cults can comprehend.
Or it might be the WIPO treaty, which would be on A3 paper or A4 paper as opposed to 8.5 by 11. That's not American, is it?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
And we are. Copyright law is also an anagram of Owl Graph City, the significance of which will soon become clear. And the only people who care about the matter are theoretically not of this earth. Named for a co-founder of the company who suffers from narcolepsy, Napster is based on a set of cosine Leary algorithms that are very hard to explain if, like me, you keep expecting an outburst of toe-tapping musical notes that form a pattern of regular pulsation. And that's not the full pulsation restorative powers of drilling a hole in one's head, or trepanation, discussed last month.
Yes, trepanation.
Yes. Perhaps it can best be explained by using an analogy. In the west southwesternmost sector of the Pacific Ocean, there floats a small island populated by drift net fisherpersons who have an affinity for music. All kinds of music. The islandites live in three coastal villages: Village A, Village B, and Owl Graph City.
Yes.
That have yet to ordain telecommunications towers, and so contact with the rest of the world is meager indeed. One day, a lookout from Village A, let's call him Errol Arm Blowback, for that is a traditional name on the island, spots a ship approaching from afar. It is the SS Napster, a large ocean-going vessel with multiple bands on board playing tunes all day and all night. Errol Arm, is that the boat, or was that the, what part of the...
Those are horse seagulls.
I see, yes. Errol Arm is very excited, for he can hear strains of the music, which runs the gamut from polkas to pointillism, from boogie to blancmange blues, wafting ashore. He leaps out of his sen tree and races to the three villages.
That's only a visual pun, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Yes. He leaps out of the sen tree.
Sen tree and races to the three villages, spreading the word. Representatives from villages A and B gather at their respective piers to await the arrival of this entertainment bonanza. Is that the seagull again? Or is that the ship? Or are you just sub-vocalizing something?
It's my bad ship's foghorn.
Oh, I see, foghorn. Okay, yes. No, I get it.
Focus,
once focus, more.
Focus.
Yeah, thank you. In the interim...
Gotta have to...
Right. In the interim, they, the fisher persons...
Right, from Village A and Village B.
Yes, engage in the, quote, file-sharing, quote, ritual, in which they toss nail files at each other from the two piers. It takes a fisher person with a great arm to reach the opposing pier, but when that happens, both villages erupt in joyous, quote, downloading, quote, celebrations. These consist of cramming huge piles of fluffy indigenous duck feathers into cotton bags, then sewing them closed, often with ornamental stitchery. For after fishing, pillow making is the most important gainful activity on the island. Meanwhile, as the great ship approaches the island, a colossal flock of non-nocturnal owls. That's owls.
Oh, owls.
Is that still your... Yes. And there must be thousands of them. Thousands of them. Suddenly fills
my polyphonic owl chords aren't functioning.
Suddenly fills the sky, blotting out the sun. This is serious. Blotting out the sun. They do not appear to be rolling out the island welcome mat as they proceed to dive bomb the ship, hooting unmistakable avian warnings and dropping leaflets onto the startled crew. I'll have to retire that owl.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in all the excitement, the birds also ooze post-digestive material onto the leaflets, soiling them beyond comprehension.
Sound effect censored.
Nevertheless, I'm trying to be serious about
this.
Please. Nevertheless, the boatmates take the hint and steer the Napster away from the island and back into more placid international waters. The tenants of villages A and B are shocked and dismayed, for they believe they have the right to hear the SS Napster's bands, as long as they are playing anyway. But the Owlgraff city denizens are beholden to a higher off-site authority, thank you, called Aria, which, unlike its friendly vocal solo namesake, stands for Autocratic Recording Industry of Americana, a pocketbook-oriented bunch of guys who fancy a more supply-and-demand-oriented type of music distribution. Well, to make a long analogy fit into the confining parameters of a radio show,
why this time?
Why? It's time for a change.
Some have gone on for months.
Yes, as this will not. The SS Napster again attempts to dock at the piers of villages A and B, but is repulsed by another owl-out assault from the Aria minions.
I can't do them all at once.
No. Confusion reigns, and a satisfactory resolution to the controversy is nowhere to be seen. Nor is it, alas, an integral part of this 300th episode of Calvis and Damien's New Music Bazaar, whose own built-in bafflement can be at least temporarily assuaged by the sharing of peerless ramblings from Calvis.
Ah, c'est moi, Calvis, with the peerless ramblings. No peers with a P-I-E-R, I suppose, even though they didn't spell it
not
that way.
As such.
We're talking about the, you know, the owls. And the
Did peers. I get any of Napster what? Right, by the way?
Peer-to-peer file sharing.
Oh, okay.
Peerless, without the right peers.
Yes.
Never mind. Yeah, well, sure, why not? It's old news. We did it here, you know.
We did?
You did a whole Napster show, do you remember?
No.
You were asleep.
I must have been. Recently?
Probably in the past few months, yeah.
Oh.
Would you like me to look it up at calvos.org, K-A-L-V-O-S.org?
A Napster show, no
well,
kidding.
Yeah, well, when we listen to the rest of this Nick Didkovsky piece here, that's
oh,
the impromptu E-flat.
I guess I should research these things.
Yes.
I did research, I just didn't research in the right direction.
Right, twice, right. From the alternative Schubert, we first heard John Myers' You Are What You Ate.
That a is, whole show?
Yes, we did.
All right.
Followed by this one, Nick Dukovsky's takeoff on the impromptu in E-flat of Schubert. From the alternative Schubert on CRI Emergency. We'll be back after some research. Didkovsky and his algorithmic takeoff on Schubert's Impromptu in E-flat major, that from Emergency Music series from CRI called The Alternative Schubertiade.
Lovely. And it has been brought to my attention that 29 weeks ago, there was, in fact, a Napster-themed program.
Yes, here on Calvos and Damon.
Since there was an essay, I presume I was at least present.
You were present. You were largely awake. That was the Off in the Distance essay, which I spent a lot of time going, "Ooh," during, as
yes.
I recall, which could have been the reason you didn't remember the rest of the show.
Maybe so.
We have lots of announcements, but the most important one is that we finally are able to announce officially
a T-shirt concert.
No, we did that.
Oh, all right.
The Calvos and Damon Ought One Festival,
Ooh.
Our festival of composers from around the world who will be here in person. For a two-day event here at WGDR and surrounding environs at Goddard College on August 25th and 26th. Get your airline tickets ready. Get here for that because we'll have many of the composers you've heard on Calvos and Damon here. You can talk to them. You can hear their music. That'll be 2 days of about 8 hours, 10 hours each day of nonstop music. August 25th, 26th, Saturday and Sunday, 2001, the Calvos and Damon Ought One Festival.
And I understand from the security arrangements here that no prisoners will be taken.
None will be taken, nor any released that happen to have still been here.
Right.
Yes.
So bring your instruments, bring your axes, and plug in and tune in.
Yes, and of course, lots of performers will be needed for this event as well, because some composers will be just dragging along their musical scores with no performers in their suitcases.
Oh, too bad.
So some will be, of course. Some will be. We have some the core ensemble for the event will be the Vermont Contemporary Music Ensemble, which we call hereafter Ensemble VCX.
Ensemble VCX.
Right. They'll be here. They'll be the core of the thing. We'll have lots of stuff played by them, and they'll be reading new stuff. There'll be workshops. If you want to study composition for an hour with a famous composer, come on August 25th and 26th. We'll have lots of stuff on the website, calvos.org, K-A-L-V-O-S.org, or newmusicbazaar.com. And there'll be information and ways for you to contact us and tell us you're coming.
PayPal.
We'll have to make all sorts of decisions about what's going to be free, what isn't. We don't know any of those things yet, but we do have already 27 composers committed to coming to this event. 28, actually.
Ooh,
now, 28.
You're coming.
I'm coming, yes.
Oh, good.
And there'll be at least another couple dozen more showing up from around the world. And so reserve those dates now, Saturday and Sunday, August 25th and 26th, here in Vermont for a wonderful sort of relaxing day in the sunshine, we hope.
Mm-hmm.
Sunshine. One other brief announcement. A composer we interviewed several years ago talked about his great war music for silent film. And finally, the film festival in Rotterdam is doing this. So right now, you can find out all about this. At the Kreinborn Studio in Rotterdam at Schouwburg, there's the Great War at the Hotel Modern. So
hey, you have to give a little more information than that. That doesn't help a lot.
What? Anybody who's anywhere near Rotterdam will know where that is.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
fine.
The Schouwburg Hotel Modern.
And you say it's going on as we speak.
Yeah, as we speak. At least that's what this is about. So that's it in announcements. We're going to have, starting in just a few minutes, after a brief intermission here with the concerto for banjo and strings, the last movement, Brad Smith will be beginning an interview and concert with Claudio Kalmans, who is our guest, with a little meal and some nice sandwiches, and Larry Polanski.
Not necessarily in that order.
Exactly. Just this a few days ago at Dartmouth. And so we have the concert for you and the interview and some good jokes.
Oh, good. Oh, finally.
And finally, good jokes. And here in the interim is the last movement of Brad Smith's Concerto for Banjo and Strings. Thank you.
What a fun little tune. Amazing.
Yes.
Played live, yes.
Yes, indeed. The concerto for banjo and strings. That's the third movement of that. We'll hear all of it one of these days when we get Brad Smith actually here to talk to him. A lot of fun, that.
Yes,
you
indeed.
Think of the avant-garde banjo.
The two don't necessarily go hand in
hand. Banjant-garde.
I guess, sure.
Something
sure.
like that. Well, let's go to our little lunch with nice Cuban sandwiches and rattling plates.
This will all be explained.
The Hanover Inn. Will it be explained?
I don't recall.
Well, we start out sort of just conversing, and then all of a sudden we're caught on tapes. I think we start talking about sort of off-color things and then move into
us,
the...
Us? Off-color?
Not us. We didn't start it.
Certainly not.
Anyway, here we go to our interview with Claudio Kalmans and Larry Polansky. Just last week, February 14th, Valentine's Day at Dartmouth College.
Por lo menos, usted habla español fluido. Perfecto. Espera un momentito, yo quiero.
Yes. Muchachos.
Muchachos. Viva, che.
Che.
And say, make sure you just use the word albóndigas.
Albóndigas?
Yeah. Albóndigas. With meatballs.
You may compose a piece with
albóndigas.
Them.
Las albóndigas grandes. Es los albóndigas, yeah?
Las
Okay.
Okay.
I'm in.
It's Calvos and Damien on the road.
What road are we on this time?
I have no idea. I think we're going to be in one of those Bing Crosby movies.
Actually, you're on La Calle.
La Calle. See. Have you ever been to the motel south of the border? It's on Route 1 south of North.
It used to be on Route 1. Isn't it on Route 301 and the interstate now?
I think so.
It doesn't matter. We're on the road in not south of the border. We're on the road east of the border in Hanover, New Hampshire.
An equally foreign land.
Por qué?
Because we have just heard a most wonderful concert of music by our guest today on Calvos and Damien, Claudio Kalmans. Welcome to Calvos and Damien.
Many thanks. Gracias. Muchas gracias.
He said, gracias. we have a translator here.
Our translator and composer.
We do it fine.
Gracias.
Larry Polansky, who's been with us many times, and we rarely have the opportunity to interview him directly. His responsibility is always as facilitator, and I don't know why
I've never translated.
And he's doing it again.
Yeah. This is a first for me, to translate. Especially when I don't speak the language. It's going to be unusual. Yeah.
Yes. Just use the gestures. The hand gestures will work fine.
So, Claudio, welcome to Calvos and Damien. We're going to read a little bit about your biography here, that you're a professor of guitar in La Plata in Argentina. And
eres profesor de guitar en...
Sí, profesor en La Plata. Sí.
And you're a performer of contemporary music as well as classical guitar music?
Usted toca... ¿Música clásica para guitarra o solamente música contemporánea?
En los últimos 10 años me dediqué casi exclusivamente a la música contemporánea.
The last 10 years he's only played contemporary.
Sí.
Can you tell us about the new music scene in Argentina?
¿Puedes describir la escena, las cosas nueva música en Buenos Aires?
¿En Buenos Aires?
Sí, el mundo nueva música.
El mundo de la nueva música.
Sí.
Está un poco, en Argentina, el mundo de la nueva música está un poco, digamos, con los mismos problemas que sucede a nivel social, macro socialmente en Argentina.
The new music scene has basically the same problems as the socioeconomic situation in Argentina, and the big sociological difficulties in Argentina.
Sí, se refleja en el mundo de la investigación o de la composición o de inclusive de la interpretación.
And that affects the interpretation, the composition, and the third thing which I forgot. But basically, that it reflects all parts of the new music scene.
Sí, hay relativamente muy poco apoyo del Estado. Y del gobierno, del Estado, poco apoyo.
Yeah. Apoyo, help.
Poco ayuda.
Sí. There's very, very little help from the government.
Sí. Y digamos que hay muchos compositores Hay algunos que son reconocidos, la mayoría no.
There's many composers and some are well known, but the majority are not.
Pero siguen componiendo.
But they keep working, they keep composing.
And you perform regularly, monthly, more frequently than that? I know you're on tour of the United States now. This is your first time here. Do you tour regularly in Argentina?
Usted guía, tiene muchas guías por Argentina y regularmente usted está tocando en varias partes. Y
sí, trato de mantener un ritmo de por lo menos dos conciertos por mes.
He tries to maintain a rhythm of about two concerts a month.
Sí.
That's a lot.
All new material?
En Argentina es demasiado.
In Argentina, it's too much.
Sí.
¿Y todo el material está nuevo?
Todo material nuevo y es prácticamente con el apoyo de lo que gano como profesor, con mis propios recursos eso.
Yeah, and he gets a lot of help from his work if they let him go.
Es difícil.
Yeah, because he's working full time.
Right,
so he's,
right.
He's always zipping off to one place or the other.
Este viaje es la primera vez que recibo recursos verdaderos para poder mantenerme en un lugar exclusivamente tocando.
This is the first time he's been able to leave for this long, and they've given him
genuinos recursos.
Kind of guarantee of things will be okay when he gets back.
El primero.
It's the first time. It's the first time he's been able to leave for this long. He's gone for a month.
Is he a professor where Alberto Ginastera
taught? ¿Dónde enseñas Ginastera?
Exacto, Ginastera creó el primer conservatorio del país después del Nacional en La Plata.
Oh, he created. Ginastera created the first conservatory after the Second World War in La Plata.
Donde yo vivo, y él fue el primer director de ese conservatorio.
He was the first director of that conservatory.
Ginastera fue profesor de quien fue profesor mío de composición.
He was the professor of his composition profession.
Se llama Gerardi, vive todavía, y bueno, Ginastera ayudaba en su época mucho a sus discípulos.
Yeah.
Y les permitía hacer viajes al extranjero con becas que ahora no existen. No, existen, pero es muy difícil alcanzar.
Ginastera was the teacher. His teacher, his name is Biarte. Biarte. And Ginastera was a big help to his, he used the word disciples, but I think he means students. And he was always helping them get scholarships and fellowships and so they could travel abroad. But now those opportunities have really dried up. You can't. It's very hard to do. But you all know Fumarola and
yes.
Ricardo Del Faro. There are a few composers. But
Fumarola will be coming here in August.
Ellos dicen que Martin Fumarola va a visitar aquí en agosto. Martin Fumarola?
Martin
Fumarola?
Es
argentino.
Sí, electroacoustic composer.
Sí. Bueno, en Argentina hay muchísimos compositores electroacústicos. El que más sabe sobre el tema, inclusive que está haciendo una enorme recopilación, es Ricardo Del Faro.
He's very close to Ricardo Del Faro. They work together. There's a lot of electroacoustics.
Él tiene un programa de electromúsica.
Yeah, he has a
radio
a,
municipal.
A radio show on municipal radio. But you guys know, Ricardo does more or less a similar kind of thing. He plays a lot of pieces.
Sí, y también el Fondo Nacional de las Artes ha hecho una recopilación en cerca de 30 CDs. De toda la música argentina desde principios de siglo hasta final del siglo XX, incluyendo dos piezas mías en la última edición.
¿Tocando o
computador? No, es una obra para computadora sola.
And also the National Foundation for Art has released a 30 CD set of the history of 20th century Argentine music from the beginning of the 20th century to the end. And there are two pieces of Fabio's on that CD.
Uh-huh.
Y Ricardo también.
También hay Ricardo.
En Ginastera.
En Ginastera ahí también. Bueno, ahí desde el fin del siglo XIX.
Yeah.
Hasta ahora.
Yeah, so there's.
Two of your compositions or two of your performances?
Composiciones o tocando.
En esas grabaciones estoy. Solamente hay una computadora.
Yeah, there are two of his computer pieces he did on the computer.
Yes.
Let's talk about this concert because we're going to play this as part of the radio show.
Hablamos sobre el concierto, porque ellos van a tocar en el programa de radio.
Ajá. ¿Lo van a transmitir?
Sí, porque ellos trabajan.
We'll start with the Leo Brouwer pieces. How did you make the choice to play that piece?
¿Cómo elegiste tocar el Brouwer?
Bueno, hace muchos años que estoy tocando esta obra y es un buen comienzo para un concierto porque produce un clima de nacimiento. Esa es la idea de la espiral eterna. Es similar a la creación a partir de la nada. Y es un buen comienzo para un concierto.
He says he's been playing that piece for many years and it's a really good piece to start the concert with because it produces a climate of birth, of genesis. And it starts from kind of a nothingness and uses this idea of the eternal circle. Gracias por hablando muy lento.
Let's hear it. This is music by Leo Brouwer.
I'm Eric Garner, and I'm here to say, give it up. You know you can't change the channel. You're listening to Calvos and Damien's New Music Bazaar. Your red alert for new music.
Here on WGDR Plainfield. A little break there before we go to the...
Leo Brouwer. I'm ready to go to Leo.
Here it is. Leo Brouwer. La Espiral Eterna. Thank you.
Music by Leo Brower.
Si. Bueno.
Yeah, that was great.
This is a concert, by the way, that was performed at Dartmouth College on February 14th of 2001. Our guest is Claudio Gomans, and I'm pronouncing that like it was Dutch for some reason, no, but really, it was Russian.
It's perfect. Claudio.
The Howard Skempton piece sounds very easy when you hear it. Why is that? Why is this piece hard? We're going to hear Larry's introduction first, and then we'll hear the piece itself. But what makes this hard?
Okay, in Skempton, la obra de Skempton, suena muy fácil cuando se oye, pero ¿por qué es difícil a tocar?
Bueno, el original de piano, según una pianista que consulté, no parece difícil.
The original piano, according to the pianist who he asked, is not hard at all.
Pero la versión que hizo Larry Polanski es diferente porque él aprovecha todos los recursos de armónicos naturales y armónicos artificiales de la guitarra, sobre todo armónicos naturales,
sí, sí.
Al máximo, reemplazando muchos sonidos que son originales del piano y con posibilidades sacadas de otros instrumentos similares a la guitarra clásica, como la guitarra eléctrica. Por ejemplo, la utilización del tap y pluck con la mano derecha, algunos recursos que permiten que la obra suene con aparentemente fluidez, pero requiere más de un año de trabajo poder tocarla. Okay. Si bien suena un minuto y medio.
Okay, try to remember all that, but I know the piece. The reason it's very difficult is because the piece uses, in the arrangement, it tries to use many resources of the guitar, including a lot of natural artificial harmonics, and also a lot of techniques derived from electric guitar playing, like right-hand tapping and right-hand harmonics, to get a certain kind of different sound on the classical guitar. And it sounds kind of fluid, but in fact it took him a year to learn to play, and it's a minute and a half piece.
Right.
But it took him about a year to practice, and just may I add, no one else, as far as I know, can play it yet.
Now, this was your arrangement, yes. So why don't you speak just briefly about...
Well, I will. I arranged it as a kind of a lark. It's in a C open tuning. And yet, what really interested me was that Skempton's pieces are so simple to play, but they're actually very difficult aesthetically, and very difficult to play because they're so simple. I mean, and so it seemed really interesting to kind of make an arrangement that would take that further. and also to arrange it exactly. It doesn't compress. It's an orchestration which doesn't change a note. So that's why the whole guitar is retuned and all those harmonics are used, which I found kind of interesting.
There was a great deal of motion on the fingerboard,
yeah.
As the various harmonics and natural notes were produced.
Yeah, that's right. It's insanely difficult. I mean, and I can't play it. I'm not a classical guitarist, but.
En un minuto se sintetiza un trabajo de un año o dos.
Yeah, he says it's about a year or two to learn. But it's sort of fun to try things like that, where you're just really pushing the limits of the instrument in a non-obvious way. I mean, it doesn't announce its own difficulty.
Totally not obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Let's hear it. This is Howard Skempton's Song 2 for classical guitar. This is arranged from a piano version by Larry Polansky and played by Claudio Collins.
I have to get my guitar.
Una pintura.
Sí, es una escultura.
Escultura. Sí, hijo de.
Instalación.
Can I get you guys any coffee or dessert?
This is all on the department.
Coffee, please. Yes.
Decaffeinated?
Yep. So no coffee decaf.
How about a stick with ice tea? What time have you got?
It's quarter till three.
Okay, so
We just heard we've just eaten, which has of course not been heard on the radio, but we heard how
the results of which may soon be.
Yes.
So I'm good. And now Larry Polansky's 2-5-1 for electric guitar. The title just suggests to me a chord progression, but
what it is.
What, first of all, what did you write, and second of all, how did you play this amazing piece?
It's because it was originally written, you say, for one guitar?
It is two versions. One for one guitar, one for two guitars. Same score. What it is just a tuning. Three tunings. Three harmonic series. On a two chord, on a five chord, and on a one chord.
Okay.
And very simple instructions as to what kinds of things you're supposed to do. Little rhythmic patterns. And then you retune throughout the piece to these three places. The two guitar version has each harmonic series has 12 different notes. All tuned to the harmonic series, they're not in equal timbre. And the one guitar version is just a kind of a reduction for the most essential versions. But Claudio does that with voice and all kinds of other stuff. Uh-huh. So estoy discutiendo sobre el 2-5-1, pero él quiere saber cómo se puede tocar eso.
Es difícil porque la primera obra que veo con constantes cambios de afinación paulatinos y el correr de la obra es ese constante cambio de afinación perdiendo toda referencia inicial. Eso es lo más difícil.
He said it looked really hard when he first saw it because you're constantly retuning and you lose your point of reference if you're not very careful.
Lo más difícil es que esos cambios paulatinos son imposibles de medir con precisión si uno lo quiere hacer espontáneamente.
it's really hard to do it precisely while you're doing other spontaneous kinds of improvisations.
Pero la, el desafío consiste en que sea preciso justamente después de mucho trabajo trabajando con afinadores electrónicos, constatando las afinaciones en cada etapa de la obra,
yeah.
Y después de mucho tiempo recién puede darse cuenta de que la obra realmente está acabada.
Sí.
Solamente uno sabe.
Yeah. He says after a lot of work with looking at an electronic tuner and looking at the correspondences between the tunings of the different stages, he feels like he's sort of finished. I mean, he can do it now. And he said something else like that. But it took him a really long time to figure out how to get confident in doing the tuning.
Have you played this with anyone else other than Lam?
¿Has tocado con alguna gente además de yo?
¿Esa obra?
Sí.
Sí, conmigo, solamente a dúo, porque tengo una versión grabada de lo que sería el compañero de dúo. Lo tengo grabado.
¿Con quién?
Conmigo mismo.
Yeah,
yo hice la segunda guitarra y toco a dúo con esa guitarra.
En sus recordings, which he could give you, debes dar un CD a él.
Ah, sí.
Y yo puedo mandar.
Sí.
But he's played it with himself as the second part.
Ajá.
But I should say that I played it with a couple other people, and it was premiered with Nick in Castro, in New York. And then I played it with a student down in the Midwest.
Si me dan la dirección, yo puedo mandar directamente.
Okay, if you give me direction, he can send you a CD. But he's recorded it with himself doing both parts.
Okay. Let's hear it. This is an amazing piece. Larry Polanski's 251 for two electric guitars. Larry Polanski on one, and Claudio Collins on the other. Music by Larry Polansky, played by Larry Polansky and Claudio Cummins. Our guests today on Kelvis and Damien.
I keep waiting for Larry to write a dumb piece, and he doesn't do it yet. I'm getting sick. Every piece is brilliant.
I've worked it on.
It's a great piece.
Oh, you're too kind.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, except we mean it. We're trying to find a reason to diss one of your pieces, but we can't do it yet.
It's a great piece.
Thank you.
It's a great piece.
I really enjoy this piece because it's one of the examples of like getting rid of anything that's not essential. You know? It's just, you know, and somebody, we played it the other night at Bates, and I'll just say, someone else had a very nice, analogy, which is, it's like the timpanist. You know, when the timpanist is tuning in an orchestra, I think all composers want to hear that more than what they're playing. That's much more interesting. And that's what this piece is, it's just the timpanist.
Fue una de las primeras obras que me mandaste.
Yeah, it was the first, one of the first pieces that I sent you.
Al principio no me sorprendió lo diferente que era cualquier otra obra que hubiera visto previamente.
He was really surprised.
Absolutamente nuevo.
It was completely different than any piece he'd ever seen. It was absolutely new.
Otro concepto del abordaje del instrumento que nunca había visto antes.
It was a completely different conception of using the instrument that he had not seen before.
How did you two get to know one another?
En Buenos Aires, a través del ciclo Experimenta, que organiza Claudio Korenblit en Buenos Aires todos los años, con el auspicio de la Municipalidad de Buenos Aires.
About 5 years ago, there was a festival called the Experimenta Festival in Buenos Aires, organized by Claudio Korenblit, and I did a concert there with Chris Mann. A local rock band, and we met. They were. It was weird.
Vos tocaste un concierto con Chris Mann.
Yeah,
sí, intervenía también un pequeño grupo de músicos que acompañaban.
Yeah.
Y sobre el final hiciste un encore con 34 shows.
Oh yeah, as a kind of an encore of the whole concert, which was one long piece with Chris and this rock band and computer and stuff. I did 34 chords as a kind of a coda.
A mí me gustó el concierto y me gustó especialmente esa obra.
Yeah.
Y cuando me acerqué a decirlo, como cualquier fan que se acerca a su música, como cualquier fan o persona que le gusta la música del intérprete, en ese caso vos te interpretabas tu propia obra, te comenté que me interesaba, al poco tiempo me la enviaste a mi casa. Vos,
correo. Sí. Ok.
¿Es difícil?
A poco tiempo yo
enviaste a mi casa.
Oh, a su casa.
Una copia, sí.
Oh, yeah. He liked this piece, 34 chords, which was a guitar solo, and I think we talked, although I don't remember because it was a long time. And then after a while, he wrote to me, and I sent him a copy of this one, of 34 chords.
Let's play that one next, and then we'll get back to the Grappolo Guzmán and some of the others in a bit. Larry Polansky's 34 chords, which is kind of an arrangement of Christian Wolff in Cambridge.
Yeah, sort of.
And but it's enough of an arrangement that we could tell.
Oh, you could.
Because we know that piece very well.
I know, you guys are like the experts.
I love that
piece.
Yeah.
I know, that's amazing. Well, you know it better than I do. I hadn't heard it until recently. I've seen the score, but I know. Oh, you could tell the chords are similar.
It was amazing, especially at the end. I mean, we knew instantly because that had such a character to it.
Oh, cool.
But we'll get back to talking about it in just a second. Right now, let's play both Christian Wolff in Cambridge, the original Morton Feldman, and then we'll hear 34 chords, Christian Wolff in Hanover and Royal Tim. And we will not play our version of Christian Wolff in Hanover.
Oh,
I know that, bro. You sang that for me.
Yes, we will not. But here it is, performed by Claudio Cummins. 34 chords, Christian Wolff in Hanover and Royal Tim by Larry Polansky. There you go. The two pieces next to each other. They are beautifully coordinated and beautifully played, I have to say.
What recording did we just hear of?
The famous LP recording of the original.
The Alvin Lucia?
The Alvin Lucia recording.
Yeah, it's just been re-released on CD, and I got it, and I don't think I've listened to it much.
Thank you.
But it's amazing. The original is an amazing piece, isn't it? Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful piece of music in both situations. Yeah. We won't ask you about that one because
it's me van a preguntar sobre los 34 acordes porque yo he hablado.
Ya se habló.
The music is so it says everything. But let's go to the Egberto Gismonti.
Seguimos al Gismonti.
It is totally different from what you'd expect from a classical guitar piece, as well as totally different from what you think of a rock and roll piece.
Es totalmente distinto de lo que se espera de un guitarra. Una obra por guitarra clásica.
Sí, es verdad.
O también por obra rock.
Sí, porque es una obra antigua de principios de la década del 70.
¿O sea?
Sí, sí.
It's an old piece for him from like around 1970.
Sí, para esa época fue una obra muy, muy avanzada y todavía sigue siendo, lo creo. Y lo más difícil de esa obra son la cantidad de. Primero, la velocidad de que hay que tocarla. Hay que tocarla a mucha velocidad. Y segundo, que las posiciones en que están marcadas las manos son muy abiertas. Hay que tener una mano muy grande o muy estirada para poder tocarla.
But it was a very advanced work for the time it was written, and one of the things about the work is you have to play it very, very fast, and the left hand positions are extremely wide and open. So you have to have huge stretches.
Además, hay trabajos de búsqueda de notas que suenan por simpatía.
And there's some funny. There's a thing in the work where you're looking for sympathetic notes, which are very, very difficult to hear if you don't know they're there. But they one string will sound, and it'll make another string sound. It's notated in the work that they're so soft.
It's very much a piece of its time as well.
As una obra de su tiempo.
Claro,
de su propia tierra.
Sí, seguro. Sí, por seguro. Sí.
Let's hear it. This is Egberto Gismonti, central guitar, played by Claudio Collins. Egberto Gismonti's central guitar. This is the transition between this and the next piece is astounding, because we move from this kind of 70s avant-garde almost to the I'm not sure if Warren uses algorithmic ways of composition here, but it seems like he does.
Exactly.
And there's such miniatures, and they're so incredibly difficult sounding.
Yeah.
Tell us about your experience with
La obra de Warren es algorítmico, musical, y suena tan difícil, y son como miniaturas.
Sí, la idea original de la obra de Warren son gesturas. Él lo llama gestures. Gestures.
The original idea is that these are gestures.
Cada melodía por separado es una gesture, es un gesto.
Every separated melody is a single gesture.
Entonces, uno toca una melodía y debe esperar un espacio de silencio hasta la siguiente. Pero ese espacio de silencio son una serie de pulsos, pueden ser 4, 8, que están en proporción a la duración de la melodía que iba hasta ese momento.
Yeah. Okay, you play this melody in a given tempo pulse, and then you wait some number of pulses in that tempo before continuing to the next gesture, but the next gesture is in a different pulse. So you could wait 4 or 8 or 5, but they just have to be in the previous pulse time. And then the next, you change immediately to a new pulse.
Entonces se produce una sensación muy extraña, que es, se termina una melodía, una gesture, y viene una próxima, que es con diferente carácter, y puede ser tomada al azar, pero siempre distinta a la anterior. Por ejemplo, si la anterior iba a un tempo determinado, el próximo va a venir, y va a quedar muy poco espacio para que vuelva el siguiente.
Yeah.
Entonces uno tiene que estar muy entrenado para poder hacerla para poder realmente hacerla con la espontaneidad que pide el compositor.
Okay, it's a piece that sounds very strange because of this. Well, what I've said before is that you go from one pulse to another, but you have very short time to wait in the old pulse, but change your mind to the new pulse and play something totally different. And then it required a lot of training to be able to do that.
When you were introducing the piece, you talked about making a choice at the beginning of each performance. Do I have the right piece here?
Yes. Yes.
What was that choice? What choice is made at the time?
¿Qué tiene que elegir?
Hay posibilidades entre 6 escalas diferentes.
There's six possibilities of choosing between 6 different scales. Tunings.
Una escala de octava dividida en 24, 36, 48, 60, 72.
Yeah.
Y la combinación de cualquiera de esas.
You can choose between 24 tone equal, 36 tone equal, 48 tone equal, 60 tone equal, 72 tone equal, or any combination.
O cualquier cosa que uno quiera.
Or whatever. Yes.
But other than the tuning, the piece is the same.
Además de la afinando, la obra es lo mismo.
No, porque hay que cambiar también la ubicación del capo, que es un aparato que se ubica en la guitarra, y ponerlo siempre en diferentes lugares.
But then you also throw a capo on whenever move you want to change the sort of bass key.
Sí. So es constantemente variable la obra. El segundo movimiento se elige al azar, gesturas del primero y del tercero.
Yeah.
Pero con una intención romántica.
Yeah, it's completely variable, except that he makes these names for the movements, and the middle one is.
El segundo movimiento es romántico.
Second movement is labeled romantic.
Romantic, yes. all of this explanation, all of these complexities, and so much practice for these lovely miniatures. Yes, yes. What they really are.
Todo está practicando toda esa explicación por esas miniaturas. Sí.
Here they are. Three movements. Fast random walk around a microtonal fingerboard. This is music by Warren Burt, played by Claudio Combs.
Thank you.
There it is. Warren Bird's fast random walk around the microphone fingerboard. Claudio Commons.
Paul.
We got one more left, and this last piece kind of brings together some of our favorite people all in one place. Nick Ditkovsky, the composer of I Kick My Hand, and Larry Polansky, a composer and performer, and
B. Phillips, and
Claudio Collins. This is an amazing piece. Tell us how you put it together from your perspective and from your perspective.
Dígalo, ¿cómo se hace I Kick My Hand?
¿Cómo logramos ensamblarla? Fue en tiempo récord. Hay que decirlo, que pudimos hacerlo en un tiempo sin casi practicar, con menos de dos semanas de práctica conseguimos hacerlo, que es casi mágico lo que pudimos.
Yeah, he says we really didn't have very long at all. We had less than 2 weeks to practice together, and he says it's sort of like magic that we were able to do it.
Yo pienso eso.
Lo siento
como algo mágico.
It's like a magical thing that we had very, very little time to practice.
Es muy difícil la obra porque implica la obra a dúo es la disección o partición de una obra solista original y repartida en dos guitarras. Entonces, lo que para una sola guitarra sería sencillo, haciéndolo a dos voces, acá hay que hacer una especie de ensamble y hacer como si fuera una sola guitarra.
Yeah.
Y eso es lo más difícil.
The difficulty is that he took the solo piece, which you guys probably know pretty well, and he dissected it into two parts, which makes it really hard because you're trying to be one guitar, but you're playing something. I mean, the solo piece is pretty hard too, but it's a different kind of difficulty to play. Play it as one guitar with the two people. It's like a reaction time experiment.
Y además está a mucha velocidad.
And it's really fast.
Okay. Let's hear this piece. But first of all, we want to thank Larry Polansky for joining us here.
Muchas gracias.
De nada. De nada.
And of course,
albóndigas a vos.
Many thanks.
And many thanks to Claudio Commons, our guest today on Calvus and Damien. And here it is, Nick Ditkovsky's "I Kick My Hand."
Thank you.
nombre es Claudio Calmens. Ustedes están escuchando a Calvos más Damian's New Music Bazaar. Ojo, tengan cuidado con la nueva música.
Here on WGDR Plainfield.
No, what did he say again? He said, oh.
Oh, I don't know. Something. He said that was the way to say alert, to That's say right. Advisory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. That was a lot of fun. He was great. He was terrific. And we didn't get any photographs. We have to get some photographs. He's shaved of the head and very intense and at the same time round and funny.
Yes, and what one could not see is after each piece, he would fling the music over his shoulder cavalierly.
Right. That was a wonderful moment, especially in the Warren Burt piece between the second and third sections. He took the capo off.
Yes.
And just winged that across the stage. Well, we have some new release. Oh, yes, of course, thanks to Larry Polanski, of course, for translating, as well as explaining some of the pieces, and Claudio Collins himself, and to, of course, Dartmouth College, and whoever is officially in charge of Faulkner, the place in which you recorded several concerts.
And also for Dartmouth's picking up the tab for the luncheon.
Oh, the lovely Cuban sandwiches.
Indeed.
Yes, of course.
or are we not supposed to acknowledge that?
Of course, we acknowledge every contribution.
Oh, excellent.
Even if it's to our diet.
Yes.
Or lack thereof. String Time, Canadian Chamber Music, the Penderecki String Quartet. This is a relatively new release. A couple of weeks ago it arrived with all sorts of interesting pieces.
And no strings attached.
One of our favorite composers, pieces that are somehow magical. I don't know what it is about them. And here's yet another one. This is one I believe she was actually composing at the time we interviewed her.
I don't recall.
Might have been at her piano. I'm not quite sure. Maybe this was earlier than that. No, this was earlier than that. This is called As You Pass a Reflective Surface, music by Linda Catlin Smith, string quartet piece.
Nice.
From 1991, actually. It says that here. Duh, I could read.
Okay.
Here it is from the Penderecki String Quartet, Linda Catlin Smith, As You Pass a Reflective Surface. beautifully recorded.
Wow.
Beautiful piece. Linda Catlin Smith, As You Pass a Reflective Surface, played by the Penderecki String Quartet. That's on a collection of some amazing pieces by David Wall, Alfred Joel Fisher, Keith Hamill, Alice Ho, Peter Graham Majeko, and also Ron Hanna.
Who has some relationship with this program?
In a sort of an indirect way. We are the hosts of a project called the Living Composers Project at composers21.com. And Ron Hanna is a composer who also does the design of that particular project. Dan Albertson collects the information and puts it together, and Ron Hanna does the web design. Amazing how the composers and the web designers somehow get together.
And we just sit back and collect what?
We collect nothing.
We host. Host.
We host.
Fine.
We host. In other words, we provide web space and the labor of uploading.
Oh, yes.
And things of that
good
sort.
Good for us. And in return, we get what?
A free CD.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was just listening to a radio show where they said the perks of the radio show are, the perks of being on radio are recognition and free things.
Oh, yes. Well, we get the second for sure.
Yeah, no recognition. Let's listen to the first movement of Ron Hanna's 1973 string quartet from that same CD. This is labeled Sostenuto, music by Ron Hanna. Thank you. First movement from Ron Hanna's 1973 string quartet, played there by the Penderecki String Quartet.
Good band.
Good band, good piece on the Eclectra CD label.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So. Now there's something that's just started playing in the background.
Well, yeah, this is another new release, and we want to thank the fine folks at XI Records in New York City for sending it to us.
Experimental Intermedia.
That's right. This is by a composer named Ellen Band, and she is not a band. She's a one-person
band.
This is called 90% Post-Consumer Sound, and that is the name of the CD. This is Railroad Gamelan.
Yes.
From 1992.
You know anything about it?
Yes. Here you have a series of railroad crossing sounds, and one superimposed over another, and after a while you get whole railroad full, whole CD full of them.
CD full of railroad sounds. This sounds like an excerptable thing.
Yes, it probably is. It will certainly wind up on a besto, and we will have a besto next week.
A besto, yes, next week?
It's a rather convoluted one.
Good, and we hope that next week we'll also have this part two of our famous Cheap History of Time we've been putting off.
We could do that, yes.
And a few guests coming up. March 17th will be Mr. Robert Duckworth coming in from Tokyo to be on the show with his computer noise-making equipment, and then starting after his live appearance. Damien has a solo show there for a week while I'm collecting interviews in some non-English-speaking lands.
Yes, and if you want to look forward to it, the topic will be contraptionology.
Ooh, I'm excited. I might have to connect in from online across the...
Pieces based on contraptions.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And then when I get back in... toward the end of March, we'll have a whole series of interviews, including, if everything goes well, Yanis Kyriakides, Samuel Friesen, Makris Hundedos, Louis Andriessen, and others. Maybe Calliope Tsoukaki.
Oh, maybe.
So that's it. Well, till next week, that's Calvis and Damien for today. And now we have Ellen Band and what?
Railroad Gamelan, all field audio recordings by Ellen Band, except where otherwise indicated.
A production of Holy Media.